Welcome to Campaign Beat, our weekly political analysis program. I'm Sally Mock, and I'm joined by veteran Capitol reporter Chuck Johnson and University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldine. And Chuck, races for the state Supreme Court are often staid affairs, but this year the race between State District Court Judge Dirk Sandifer and University of Montana law professor Kristen Juris has made headlines most recently over Juris's criticism of a sex advice column in the University of Montana student newspaper, The Kymen, a few years ago, and that has resurfaced lately.
Yes, Sally, it has. She actually put on Facebook a video of her singing cover of the Rolling Stone with the words cover of the Kymen. It's part of an interesting race for the Supreme Court and a very important one. The Supreme Court now is divided about 4-2, liberal to conservative, with one swing justice. She's running for the seat, and he's running for the seat of Pat Cotter, a definite member of the liberal wing of the court. So a Juris victory could definitely swing the court to the right. And she's been endorsed by business groups and ag groups, whereas Sandifer has been endorsed by the trial lawyers and some law enforcement groups, too, I believe. He's a former prosecutor and currently a district judge and actually was a cop early in his career.
Well, it's interesting that the brouhaha over her criticism of the sex advice column went sort of beyond a mild criticism. She really wanted the column pulled, and then she lately said that the column was pulled because of the Department of Justice investigation of sexual assault on UM's campus a few years ago. But in fact, the column was pulled because the person who wrote the column graduated. And so she's being criticized for, A, getting the facts wrong, and B, criticizing the column in the first place.
Yes, and I believe she went to the president of the university, who was then George Denison, to try to get him to kill the column. And you know, the column continued to run, and then the author graduated. And it's kind of an odd twist to a Supreme Court race, one that I suspect we'll hear more of in the coming weeks.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that race for sure. And Rob, in the ever more contentious U.S. House race, Democrat Denise Juno has a new ad criticizing one-term Congressman Ryan Zinke as a Washington insider.
I'm Denise Juno, and I approve this message.
It's what you'd expect from a Washington politician. The press has called Ryan Zinke's claims wrong, even shocking. Now, Zinke's just telling lies. The truth? Denise Juno supports the Second Amendment and keeping public lands public. But Zinke abandoned Montana, voting against our public lands. Even signed a pledge to sell them off to the highest bidder. Ryan Zinke, Washington values wrong for Montana.
And Rob, this issue of whether Congressman Zinke supports or opposes public land staying public is an ongoing attack point by the Juno campaign.
Right, Sally. And we have a clear pattern at this point in the campaign, and this ad is just the latest skirmish in this. Juno charges Zinke with wanting to sell public land. Zinke denies it and says that she's lying about his record. So what's going on here? Well, in my view, I think it's absolutely true that Zinke has never actually voted to sell public land, and he's clearly on record as voicing support for public lands. And that's actually no small thing for a Montana Republican today, both at the national level and at the state level. All the energy in the Republican Party is moving in the other direction. But here's the thing. Conservationists have good reason to question the real motives behind these plans by conservatives at the national level for transferring federal land to the states, or even the much more modest proposals like the one Zinke supported for transferring, and this is what the ad is referring to, for transferring some management authority over these federal lands to the states, right? Critics see these kinds of proposals as a step toward a full transfer to the states and ultimately even towards privatization. And in fact, many of the prominent supporters of the bill that Zinke voted for, that's alluded to in this ad, are also champions of full transfer and privatization. So this kind of stuff raises all kinds of red flags for conservationists. To get a sense of why conservationists are so skeptical, we could just consider the role of forest fires, right? Imagine that the state of Montana was in charge of dealing with forest fires on what's now federal land and thus is covered by the federal government. How would the states be able to deal with that and pay for it? I've yet to hear a very convincing answer to that question. And so there is some truth on both sides of this, right? Zinke has technically never voted to sell public lands, but he also is supporting bills put forward by people who are in favor of transfer and selling.
It's interesting, too, Rob, that that issue of public lands is an issue in both the House race and the gubernatorial race. How sincere are both the Republican candidates in those races about protecting public lands?
One other thing that you can say, Zinke is definitely going against the grain within the Republican Party on this. Again, I think the easier default position would just be to hedge a bit on it and support some of these larger efforts, because that is where the energy is in the conservative movement and within the Republican Party.
Here's Zinke's ad responding to the Juneau attack.
Denise Juneau claimed Congressman Zinke wanted to sell our public lands. Fact checkers said that's not true. Ryan Zinke even stood up to his own party to protect our lands. Ryan's a lifelong hunter, fisherman, and he's endorsed by the Outdoor Industry Association. Zinke's one of us. Juneau lies about Montana lands. Zinke fights to preserve our land.
Zinke's one of us. I'm not quite sure what to make of that sentence, Rob.
Well, one of the central objectives in political advertising is to get voters to see your candidate as more like them than the other candidate. Here in the Zinke ad, that's actually stated directly. Zinke is more like us.
Yeah, I kind of took it a different way, Sally. When I heard one of us, I thought, well, what did he mean? Zinke's a white Montanan and Denise Juneau's Native American, or Zinke's a heterosexual Montanan and Juneau's a gay Montanan? I just thought it was sort of odd wording.
Chuck, in the governor's race, the state's rainy day fund has become an issue, and this is the state's surplus, save for emergencies. And here's Governor Bullock praising the fund in a new ad.
When the sun shines in Montana, that's when we prepare for a rainy day. I'm Steve Bullock. I worked with Republicans and Democrats to balance our budget with a stable budget reserve and vetoed wasteful spending to protect it. My opponent would spend our rainy day fund on tax breaks for out-of-state corporations and millionaires like himself. That's the difference. I believe in fiscal responsibility and fair taxes for all Montanans.
And Chuck, that rainy day fund was $300 million, but now latest figures from the legislature's fiscal analyst anyway say it's now down to just over $100 million. It's quite a drop.
It is, and it reflects the loss of revenue from oil, gas, and coal, or projected revenue. Governor Bullock had insisted in both of his legislative sessions that the legislature leave a balance of $300 million. And that was a big issue in both sessions. Republicans argued unsuccessfully that some of that $300 ought to be returned to taxpayers in the form of reduced taxes or rebates or one-time givebacks. I have a feeling this ad was taped before the news came out that it was $109 million, but Bullock is still making the point that the cost or the estimated cost of Gianforte's tax plans would decimate the surplus. And, you know, I don't know if Gianforte would revise his tax plans now that we have a lower number. And it's certainly debatable what the total is, because the governor's budget director, Dan Villa, voiced disagreement and said he would come up with his own numbers in November when the governor has to present a proposed budget to the next legislature. And he indicated that that one would also show a $300 million surplus.
It's interesting to note, though, that there are Republicans now criticizing Governor Bullock for having only $109 million left when they were the ones who were also opposing that there be $300 million to start with. And, of course, there wouldn't be $109 million left if there hadn't been $300 million to begin with. The last ad I want to play today is from Republican Greg Gianforte, and this features Claire Danes, who's the father of Senator Steve Danes, and he's singing Gianforte's praises.
We've lived in Bozeman for over 55 years. Greg has been a community leader in every respect since I've ever known him. To me, the measure of a man's man is how well he does in the backcountry with a pack on his back. And he does that extremely well. He's bagged about every major game animal there is in Montana.
He loves everything about Montana and of the people that live here.
Greg has my vote, and I believe anybody who wants to see some real profound changes would also vote for Greg Gianforte.
A man's man, Rob.
Right. A couple of points about that. One, the emphasis on Gianforte's manliness is a little remarkable. You don't frequently see ads trying to underscore the manliness of a particular candidate. But I tell you, the other thing that struck me is that clearly the Gianforte campaign is still investing a lot of time and a lot of money here at this relatively late date into trying to establish that Gianforte is a real Montanan. This is obviously an important thing for them to accomplish. But it has to be a little disconcerting, I would think, that they still feel a need to be trying to underscore this kind of very basic point. And it makes me wonder if they're very sensitive to these charges that Gianforte is really from New Jersey, which I think is silly, and we've discussed that before. But it could be that they have some internal polling that is suggesting that that line of attack is effective. At the very least, they seem to be concerned about it.
If you watch the ads, you think that all Greg Gianforte does is hunt and fish. Lucky guy. Well, Chuck, the Danes Gianforte connection goes back a long ways. Both Steve and his father, Claire Danes, have been business associates with Greg Gianforte in Bozeman. They've gone to the same church, and they're very close friends and allies, which is a little unusual for a congressman and a potential governor to be that tight.
They're good friends, and the father and the son of the Danes family and Gianforte formed a partnership that built Right Now Technologies facilities down in Bozeman, and that's the company that Gianforte started and ran, and Steve Danes was a top executive under him. So there's a close tie between the families, that's for sure. You know, it's not uncommon for our top elected officials to be friends or people that have worked closely together, but I think this would be unique in that they've been business partners. If Danes and Gianforte, Danes is already there, but if Gianforte is elected governor, it would be pretty unusual. Nothing the matter with it, but I don't think we've seen anything like that before.
Mm-hmm. And they certainly share the same conservative worldview as well.
Yes.
You've been listening to Campaign Beat, our weekly political analysis program. I'm your host, Sally Mock, and I've been speaking with veteran Capitol reporter Chuck Johnson and University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldin. A lot to talk about next week as well, guys. I'll talk to you then.
Thanks, Sally.
Thank you, Sally.